I would pray that Outfitters wouldn't be, it's a family church, and domestically we're here as a body of believers, but we have a vision for nations, to, like the word says, you know, we preach the gospel, but we also disciple nations, and what does that mean? You know, I mean, there, we could go into a whole another thing about that. But when Roy was talking about China, you know, I couldn't help but think about the scripture in Psalms 2, where it says, ask of me to give you the nations and I will do it. You know, I mean, it's something that we need to ask for as an inheritance that we can, I mean, Jesus Christ already captured these nations, but we can be a part by prayer, by support, and there is such a huge underground church, and they are on fire. I mean, you know, it's amazing. We are afraid of persecution, but sometimes, I like what Lance Wellnell says, sometimes we come under persecution to get the glory out of us, because otherwise we get complacent and we don't understand, you know, that there's something that we carry as Christians. We carry the glory of God. And so, but he promised us, you know, I really believe we need to be, have a biblical worldview, right? And so often we don't. We don't understand what that biblical worldview for the nations, not just for America, but for the world. So it's important we become biblically, you know, have a biblical worldview for sure. So, but anyway, let me just say this. The last couple sessions that we've had, I don't know, I just feel like I'm still on this right now about recovering all. Then the last week, the week before that when I spoke, I was talking about Naboth's Vineyard, about there's an inheritance that we have and it's not for sale. And Naboth said no to Ahab. And so there's an inheritance, there's something that God has for us, and that we are not for sale, right? We belong to the Lord and we're not for sale, and we're saying enough is enough, right? We got to draw the line sometimes. And I feel like some of us have been through some stuff, but we say enough is enough, and we depend on the Lord, and our strength is in God even in through that. But I was enjoying the worship. I was writing so many things down. And I hope that you do too during worship, because I really feel that the Lord is speaking to you through the worship. And so there are so many things that he was speaking to me about. But I'm going to just go ahead and share what the Lord has given me. And I felt like the Lord is saying to us in our worship that praise and worship is part of our weaponry. It's part of our being equipped, and how important praise and worship is, and, you know, how we need to steward the presence of God well in this place, and how important, and maybe some of us know that, but maybe some of us think, well, that's a couple songs, or sometimes people say, oh, that worship's too long, you know, or too short, or whatever. And the fact is, we need to be in tune with what God is doing in the room, because we're not just doing a religious duty and singing three songs and we're out. There's something God is speaking to us, and some things that God is encouraging us in worship and strengthening us in worship. And I'm so grateful for Ken, Angie, and Roy. They do such an amazing job bringing up and bringing us into those high praises. Amen? And Deb, too. And we really appreciate that, because let me tell you, that's a very rare thing, because we know what religion looks like. That's all I'm going to say about it. But we want the spirit of what God is doing. So I'm going to speak a little bit about ascending in worship and descending in war. So it's like we come up to that higher place. So when I'm thinking about recovering all, and about God says we have an inheritance, and sometimes we need to draw the line and say, no, you can't have this, because the enemy is what his MO, kill, steal, and destroy, right? But God says in John 10:10, he gives us the abundant life. So we know there is sometimes a conflict, but we know that the victory is won, and we fight out of victory. But we need to do something actively. So one of our, if I can say, tools in our tool belt would be that we worship God, that we praise God. It's, you know, we're created to be a sound, a frequency in the heavens. It's part of our DNA. We are called to align our voice with His, to become a resounding sound for His glory. To whatever degree we're open in worshiping God, He will give us His heart. So I just say, open your heart and expand your heart, the capacity. You know, if you're going to come with a cup, you're going to get a cup. But if you come with open arms and a barrel, you're going to get a barrel. You know, I mean, God is wanting to pour out such revelation and such truth when we worship and praise. It's so important as a Christian. It's one of the things God's equipped us and gave us this amazing, amazing, I hate to even say tool, but it, you know, it's just amazing, beautiful thing that He's given us that we can go into those high praises, go into those places with God and see such amazing revelation of who He is and who we are. When we were worshiping this morning, the Lord just highlighted a scripture to me, and it's in Psalms 25:14, and it says, "There is a private place reserved for the lovers of God where they sit near Him and receive the revelation secrets of His promises." Isn't it a beautiful scripture to say, you know what? When I go into that place with God, God's going to begin to speak to me because I'm a lover of God and He loves to communicate. Sometimes it's, you know, we hear a word. Sometimes it's just us being silent and having a listening ear. So praise is our part of our tool belt, our weaponry. And then I love the scripture that Cassie actually brought forth when she was here. And that's in Psalms 149, 6 through 9. And it says, "With the high praises of God, the word of God, the two-edged sword, we have the ability to execute God's vengeance, inflict punishment, bind kings, bind nobles, and execute judgments written. This is the honor and glory of the saints that God has bestowed on us." So it's like we can bind and loose these things because He's given us authority. And so I think that scripture is important because it says it's the honor and the glory of the saints to do this. So, and He loves, it says, He loves to give them the victory. It says, His godly lovers, in verse 5, "His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praises will rise even while others sleep." And 6, it says, "God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouts and praises are their weapons of war." This is what scripture says. God is telling you, He's giving you victory through these things. He's equipped us. And then it goes to 7. "These warring weapons will bring vengeance on every opposing force and every resistant power, to bind kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles." Verse 9, "Praise-filled warriors will enforce the judgment doom decree against their enemies." This is the glorious honor He gives to all His godly lovers. Hallelujah and praise the Lord, right? So when we praise Him, what happens? You know, when we worship Him, it raises us above our self-centeredness to God-centeredness. Amen? And, you know, we don't do a favor by worshiping God. We do ourselves a favor by seeing His glory and concentrating and focused on Him. You know, faith is a reason we worship God, and God in turn strengthens our faith. God's not egotistical, but He knows when we focus on Him in worship and praise, we will rise above our circumstance. What we look at the longest becomes the strongest. That's why I don't like to talk about what the enemy's doing. I like to talk about what God's doing because God will always trump what the enemy is doing. And so when we put our minds on, it's an offensive weapon. It moves us. And we need to see that, you know, and you know, Jane, do you know who Jane Hoyt Hansen? She's a glow president, she said something that, I don't know, just really spinned me for a minute. And she said, how did she put that? She said, the devil is not our enemy, we are his. I think, you know, he's more afraid of us than we are, we should be afraid of him. And we need to understand that when we are in Christ, so is our circumstances. If we are in Christ, we stand in the victory he won for us to the cross, and it's a finished work, and he has risen, and he's victorious, and we are victorious in him. But sometimes he says, without a vision, the people perish, right? You know that scripture. And what is that vision? The vision really is him. It's not like having a vision for a ministry or something. It's the vision is about seeing him and what he wants, his kingdom. And, you know, I just think about how if we would visualize and see him, who the God, who he really is, and we would come to understand how powerful of a God he is. And then how unlimited, like Angie's song spoke about, we are unlimited in him. And it's just like, we are no longer victims. We are no longer orphans. We are part of the great family of God. We are empowered. But let me just read a few things someone wrote when they said who God is. See if one of these just hits you. Okay, I'm going to read a few. Who God is. God is Lord Almighty. He's omnipotent King. He's Lion of Judah, Rock of Ages, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's Protector. He's Ruling Lord, Reigning King of all the universe. He is Father. He is Helper. He is Guardian. He's my Healer. He's God. He is First and Last, the Beginning and the End. He is Keeper of Creation and the Creator of all he keeps. He is the Architect of the Universe and Manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and always will be. Unmovable, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him. And the rulers can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age couldn't replace him. He is light, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness. He is God. He's holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my Redeemer. He's my Savior. He's my guide. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord, and he rules my life. I serve him because the bond is love. His burden is light. His goal for me is abundant life. I follow him because he is the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the Ancient of Days, the ruler of rulers, the leader of leaders, the overseer of overcomers, and the sovereign Lord of all that was and is to come. And if that seems impressive, how about this? His goal is to have a relationship with me. Come on. Mighty God, but yet he's Father and he wants a relationship with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, never mislead us, never forget us, never overlook us, never cancel his appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts up. When I fail, he forgives. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I am lost, he is the way. When I am afraid, he's my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals. When I'm broken, he mends. When I'm blind, he leads. And when I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he is with me. When I face persecution, he steals me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, in every way. He is God. He is faithful. I am his. He is mine. And here's the reason I feel so secure, because God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God is in control. I am on his side. And that means all is well with my soul. And everybody says, hallelujah. Woo! Come on, you gotta read that. This is who our God is. Stop putting God on our level. You know, we always think he's human. He is supernatural. I mean, we're supernatural, but I mean, this is a mighty God we serve. But then he's Father, and he's relational, and he loves us. So when Roy was talking about the nations, about China, I was thinking how appropriate to hear that because, you know, in Joel it talks about, you know, proclaim to the nations. He tells us there's an end time army of God in Joel. And Joel 3:9 says, proclaim this among the nations. This is what we need to proclaim to the nations. You know, we don't have to be there on the soil. Sometimes we will be and we'll make proclamations. Sometimes God will send us there. I remember we went to Israel. We went to Israel the first time kind of as a tour kind of thing. And that was great. First time we were there, but the second time it was a prayer pilgrimage. We were there on the land decreeing over Israel that Israel is forever, that Israel is the apple of God's eye, the peace of Jerusalem. And we prayed in certain points, some places in places that we should have not been. We were in an ultra-Orthodox area where women really weren't allowed, but there was a day that, I think it was Purim, where we were able to go in at that time wearing skirts, long sleeve shirts, and we traveled with a ministry that ministers to the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people. And, you know, when they come to Jesus Christ, they are totally ostracized. Totally ostracized, and all they've known was their teachings, yeshuvas, and you know, there is just only things, only a certain way of life. So they're devastated because they have no livelihood. So they come out of this, and this ministry takes them up. But when we went through, there was this big truck, and it had these huge speakers on it, and they were saying stuff in Hebrew. Of course, we didn't understand, but we asked the person, "What were they saying?" And they were actually saying, do not believe in Jesus. He is not the Messiah. You will be ostracized if you believe in him. And they were going through the whole neighborhood with these big speakers on their truck and proclaiming this in the ultra-Orthodox neighborhoods. And so we just, you know, we just pray. We just pray. Our assignment was to pray. And we ministered to several people, which was, long story short, we shouldn't have been able to minister to a man. You know, but we did, and we shared a little bit with him. But otherwise, we were usually looked at, you know, especially women, not to say anything. So, but I'm telling you, God has a destiny for these nations. God has a destiny for America. But when we look at the world, God has a prophetic destiny for every nation. And so anyway, in Joel 3:9 it says, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war, rouse the warriors, let all the fighting men draw near and attack, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. And it says, let the weakling say, I am strong. Do you know that is a call for, it's like going to a rally, and you know, I don't know the military like maybe Roy does, but maybe there's a point before you go into battle. There's a rally of just, you know, here we are, but we're going in because no one goes into a war thinking they're going to lose, right? So anyway, he's saying, let the weak say I am strong. And sometimes we have those weak moments, but here in the translation, it doesn't say, let the weak say I'm strong. It says, let the weak say I am a warrior. And so we are warriors, and we have a roar. You know, and Joel gives a good picture of the end time armies. You know, there's so much in those scriptures, but I want to move on from that because there's something that the Lord, in my study, the Lord was just showing me different things. And it goes further down in Joel, I think it's 3, 14 through 17. It says, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. Do you understand? We are in the last days, but it's not the day of the Lord, right? Not yet. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened and the stars no longer shine. But the Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and earth and the heavens will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. And then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. And so there is Zion, which is Jerusalem, sometimes called the city of David, the city of God. It's the city, it's Jerusalem. So there is a physical place, but there is a spiritual Zion. You know where that is? That's right, Angie got it. It's in us. We are the spiritual Zion. We are Zion people. Come on, when you grab a hold of that, we are a worshiping community. We, Zion, have a roar. Why? Because the Lord dwells in Zion. The Lord dwells in us. When we grab hold of that, the power and the authority that Jesus Christ reigns in us, Holy Spirit, we have all power and all authority to proclaim to the nations that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And you know, in the study, this is what just blew me away. So the name of Zion, so I was looking up, what does the name of Zion mean? And so it actually, the original meaning is highest point. It means highest point. So where are we? We're in High Point. I thought that was kind of interesting, how the Lord kind of, there's no accident with God. I don't believe there's no accident at all. So the name of Zion, the original meaning is highest point, and where are we located? I remember in prayer, and we were doing, you know, regional meetings at some point, there was a scripture that the Lord gave us in prayer, and this is it, Proverbs 21:22. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases regional breakthrough, breaking down the strongs of the mighty. Come on. I'm making this stuff up. This is scripture. I mean, that is a, like, you know, when a prophetic word comes forth, or when a scripture, it's a rhema word, it's something to be applied. And that's why we're here. There's something that God is calling to bigger than ourselves. So often we look at, oh, we're not very big, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? We are so big in Christ. We are so big in the Spirit that we can shift atmospheres. Who knows what God is doing as we worship? It goes beyond these four walls. It goes into the community. It goes into the state. It goes into the nation. It goes to all the nations. Our worship, our praise has so much power. But we have to understand our praise will produce. As we understand the meaning of what that is. In Psalms, then I looked up a scripture, Psalms 87, talks about Zion. And there's a lot in that scripture. I would like to break that down, but I didn't have all the time because it was like God was giving me different things. And it was just like, ugh. Anyway, so talk about Zion, right? So it says in verse 1 and 2, high upon the hills of holiness stands the city of God. Verse 2, how God loves the gates of Zion more than any dwelling place of Jacob. So many glorious things have been proclaimed over Zion, God's holy city. He's talking about you, spiritual Zion, physical, but also spiritual Zion in us. Amen? God loves the gates. He loves the gates of Zion. What does Psalms 27 say? So wake up, you living gateways. We are gates. We are gates. We are gates to be open and let the King of Glory come forth. There is something released in you when you talk to people, when you're in the presence. I don't care where you are, your work, at the grocery store, wherever it is, there's something you're releasing because the glory of God is in you. The Spirit of God is within you. Don't take it for granted. I'm just walking there, so whatever, whatever. No, there's a God appointment. There's God appointments and God's assignments that he is saying that we have. We are Zion. We are Zion people. We have purpose and destiny. We are gates, and gates are places of divine presence and encounter. And this is what we owe the world, an encounter with God. You know, I might not be the most intellectual, but you know what? We all carry love. And I think that breaks so many things. Right now, I was reading something on the internet, why people are not attending church. You know, and it broke my heart, because so many people think first, the church is judgmental. They think it's all about money. They think it's about control. And I thought, wow, we did a pretty bad job of being Zion people. But I say God is redeeming us to be the Zion people he has always called us to be, and live out to be Zion. Because it says here in Psalms 24:7, so wake up, you living gates, lift up your heads, which means lift up your heads is rejoicing. You ageless doors of destiny, welcome the King of glory, for he is about to come through you. You are a gate. People will find Jesus Christ. Do you know that? As you share, and as your presence, your maybe your optimism, maybe your whatever it is, even sharing your pain can bring a gate open for them to release theirs, and you can tell them the hope you have in Jesus Christ. You know, so it says, we are the living gateways who rejoice as the Lord draws near. You ask, who is the King of glory, right? The Lord, armed, ready for battle, the mighty one, invincible in every way. Isn't it interesting in that verse 7 where he talks about, welcome the King of glory, for he is about to come through you. This isn't about a pastor. This isn't about a title. This is about Zion people, which you are. Everybody that has accepted Jesus Christ walks in that ability to bring forth the King of glory in their life, right? So God always, it says here, for he's about to come through you. That sounds like, to me, there's a co-partnering. There's a co-laboring we do in Jesus Christ. And we need to declare who he is, that he's Lord of heaven and earth. And as we praise and as we worship, we're proclaiming, come on, as we worship, we're proclaiming who he is. We're speaking it out in the atmosphere. Another thing Cassie said, which I believe, we frame our worlds by what we say, what we speak. How important is our worship when we frame the atmosphere that Christ is King? How about if we frame our worlds, even as we come in here, but even as we leave, that he is Lord of heaven and earth? How about that he's our healer, that we have hope, that he is our strength, that he is our joy? How about saying those kind of things, that we go out rejoicing and knowing that surely God is in us, God is working through us, and we're co-partnering with Jesus Christ, because the Lord dwells in Zion, and we are Zion. How many thought it was an Old Testament thing and not even a, you know, I mean, it's a physical thing. It's Jerusalem, but it's us. We are the new Jerusalem, what God wants to do in us. But then he goes on with praise and worship. In Hosea 10:11, it declares, Judah will plow. The name Judah means praise. So the prophet is saying that praise will plow. Your praise will plow. The victory's on your lips. Your words form your world. Praise and worship is like a plow. It prepares the ground for our hearts. But praise and worship acts as a plow for the word to come forth, to prepare our hearts for the seed of the word. How important. Our daily life should be filled with praise and worship. You know, we come here together corporately, and there's so much power. I feel it as we come together corporately worshiping God. But never just wait till Sunday. Put a praise and worship CD on. Put your mind in, you know, onto Christ and worship and praise him and understand who he is. I believe the Spirit of God is saying, you do have this praise as your weapon to combat any false thought. As we worship him, we're focused on him. We see who he is. We see who we are. So how do we do this? Okay, revelation knowledge is the hammer we use to beat our swords into our plows into swords to make praise a weapon of war. What I mean is that the revelation knowledge of who God is. We must have revelation that God has ordained praise for a purpose. You know, there's a difference between celebration and having a revelation of your celebration, right? Like praise and celebration without revelation, it has very little effect. Let me just say this. You have a tool. Let's say you have a jackhammer. Okay, but you don't understand the capacity or the potential how this tool works. But when we understand it, it brings revelation knowledge and we can use it more effectively. Like if I think a jackhammer is just something to cut grass and I try to cut grass with a jackhammer, it wouldn't work very well. But the whole fact is we have to understand the capacity, the revelation knowledge of the things that God's given us and who he is. So we put that scripture up there if this is Ephesians, okay, and it says, Ephesians 1, because of this, since I've heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love towards all his devoted ones, my heart is always full. This is Paul. This is an apostolic prayer. My heart is always full and overflowing with thanks be to God for you as I consistently remember you in my prayers. And believe me, Dick and I pray that over you. We are so thankful for you. And then that goes on. But I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God would illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. We are God's inheritance. Think about this. He goes on and prays, I pray you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. And then your lives will be an advertisement of his immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of the highest honor and supreme authority in heavenly realm. Wow. I'm telling you, when Angie sang that song, Unlimited, right there. We are unlimited in the power of God. When are we going to believe it? We receive the revelation, what the Bible has to say about praise and worship. We thank you. It's so important. We have to affect the spiritual realm and shift atmospheres with our praise. You know, being a warrior, it has nothing to do with your personality. You might not feel like, but you are that in the spirit. Because I'll tell you, there is a release of power in you. And we can shift atmospheres with our praise. Because you know what? If you're born of God, and God is a warrior, that seeds in you too. Think about it. Selah. I am a warrior. The word strong in Hebrew is gabor, and it means warrior or tyrant. This actually says, let the weak say, I'm a warrior. Ever think of yourself as a warrior, a tyrant? You are. You are against the enemy. It says that praise stirs the heart of God, and as we praise him, he rises up with zeal. So in Isaiah 42, 12 through 13, it says, let them give glory to God and proclaim his praises in the islands. The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. In Matthew 5, it talks about being the light of the world, right? Matthew 5, 14 through 16, your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance, for how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let your light shine brightly before others so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them and they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. We are the light and we are the salt. So worship. Do we see our life, our daily activities, an opportunity to worship, to proclaim the glory of God? That's what we do. We do that. Worship is the ultimate level of relinquishment. We let go. We let God have control. We're allowing God to be who he is for us. We need to be intimate with God. You know, when Angie and Ken were singing that song, you know, I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid. So often we're afraid of intimacy, because we're afraid God's going to see us and there's going to be something wrong and he's going to turn his face from us. But that's not true. That's not true. He knows everything about us. He, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He loves us and he has such an amazing purpose and plan. So out of our worship, out of your intimacy with the Lord, there's a birthing that takes place. You know, you have to be You have to be intimate to bring birth. And so we have this intimacy with God, and God wants to birth things in us, right? And sometimes we look at birthing as a hard thing to do. We're afraid of it. You know, just when I was pregnant, and then I was like, oh gosh, I'm kind of can't turn back now, but I was like scared, like what's going to happen, you know, I mean, and then I was scared of the pain and the horror stories they tell you all the time, right? And so anyway, it was just like, but in the birthing, there's a joy that comes forth, isn't there? There's a pain, but there's a joy that comes forth. You know, I'm thinking about back in the days where in Moses, when the midwives were told to kill the male child if delivered to Jewish women, birthing was a time of crisis. It's interesting, a fact, the word, Hebrew word mashbar, means crisis, and it also means birthing stool. I don't know if you heard this before, but a crisis is a birthing stool. So the midwives would use this birthing stool made up of two stones for the delivering mom to sit on and squat during childbirth. So at the time of birth, just think about it, they didn't have epidurals and stuff like this. It was a time that was a time of crisis. And I think some of us mom can say amen to that because it was hard. But our greatest time of crisis can be our catalyst for growth. Amen? How many of us grew because we went through a hard time and grew? You know, we realize at the crisis of birth, through our hard times, we're birthing something new. And I feel like the church is birthing something new. We're birthing new, a new life of love, of growth in the family, even laughter, that there's times of crisis, but we learn in our hard times, we learn the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Isn't that true? Amen. So we worship, and worship is intimidation to the enemy. Come on, he's intimidated by that. He's intimidated by the intimacy that we have in God, you know? But it's always going to be, we come in a group and we worship. we could worship in a crowd, but then there's always that one-on-one, that personal intimacy relationship with Lord, with the Lord. In crisis, though, we are bringing forth something new. So we descend. We come up to the high praises of God. We find out who our God is. We focus on Him. We're now God-centered out of our whatever troubles and things. We focus on the greatness, the faithfulness, the goodness, the love of God, the power of God. We focus on that, and we come down and ascend, not in self-awareness, not in self-centeredness, but we come in knowing that we have the strength from Almighty God rising up within us. And even as Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine and let the glory be displayed, right? So it's just like, this is what God does when we come in. There's something that He deposits. It brings us life. It brings us birth in so many different ways. Come on. And that we can go forward in the things of God, knowing that the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, accomplishes His resurrection power in us. And the glory of God is working in and through us to the sake of the world, for the sake of the world. Because it's beyond our own personal need. It goes to it goes into God kingdom vision and kingdom mandates. And it goes beyond that. Sometimes I get upset about and frustrated about a few things, and I think, no, I'm not gonna let this distract me. I'm not going to let this distract me. Sure, I understand it's there. I'm not saying I'm denying it. I'm denying its entry into influencing me. That I can stand in the promises and the things of God. I don't care what the devil said. I'm going to listen to what God says. I'm going to decree, and it's going to establish what God has said in my life. Amen? But God wants us to ascend to that higher call, that higher life. We have to go up. We are Zion people. God is in us. We are raising the high praises of God. Not that He's egotistical, but because how much He loves us, that it wasn't about Him, it was about us again. That we center on Him, that we no longer have to be self-centered. We can be God-centered because we have a God that His perfect love casts out all fear. That we can enter into that no matter what life hands us, it does not matter. My God is good. My God is faithful. There is a way out, and He's going to make a way out, and He's going to show Himself good, and then we're going to be a testimony of God's goodness and greatness. There's a high place, an ascended life. Let me say, put praise and worship. I feel so blessed by the ministry Ken and Angie bring in this place. It's unusual. It's so tapped in to what God is doing, because you get out your book when we do worship. Watch God speak to you. I don't know about you. I write several things down the Lord's telling me during worship. Have a listening ear. As you're worshiping God, then ask God, God, what are you saying to me today right now? What is this song relaying to me right now? Why is this song done today? It's not coincidence. Those songs are ordered of the Lord. And there's something He wants to say. He's saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste is an experience. Seeing is a perception. And you know what? Seeing in the Hebrew means drink deeply. So when we taste something, we also drink deeply of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and who we are in Him. Amen? I am so excited because we are not powerless. We are not orphans. We are not without anything. We lack nothing. God paid too high a price for us not to be victorious. He did it all. He did it all. And we need to celebrate and honor God's atoning blood by appropriating what He did. That He's working in us. He's working through us. Even to be history makers, world changers. We do that. I mean, it might not look like, you know, I'm going to be like a president of this company. But we're world changers in our prayer and our worship, because we are changing atmospheres. Come on. We have to understand this outfitters, we're being outfitted. We are on a high place. When God showed me that, I just about cried because Zion is a high place and we are Zion people. Zion means high place. I don't know who named it, but I think it was the Baptist church that was here. They probably knew the inside story to that. We didn't know why it was called High Point, but it was because they understood Zion. They understood how important a high place was. The struggles we've seen here, the things that we have had to deal with, it doesn't matter. If the mission and the assignment is ours to be here, we're going to praise our way through this, and we know God has got something. We are making regional breakthrough. And I believe it, and I want you to believe it with us, because we're not doing this by ourselves. This isn't the Ann and Dick show. This is about all of us corporately moving in the power of God, in the kingdom of God, knowing that God is more than able to shift things. Oh, Jesus. Because there's such a love for this world from God. Let us be the carriers of his love. Let us be the glory carriers of his power, that we can make a difference. Don't tell me there was 12 set on the earth, the 12 disciples, and they changed the world. How many do we have here? I don't know. But what I'm saying is, God can use even the littlest thing. He can use a mustard seed of faith and bring forth so many things. So if you're leaving out of this place today, know that you're a Zion people. It's time to sing your song. It's time to sing your song. So I want us I just felt like, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste is an experience. Seeing is perception. I want us to stand for a moment, and I want to have you look at what is the most challenging thing in your life right now, and I want you to hold it up. I want you to give it to God and hold it up like you're giving it to him, and then I want you to literally sing out. It's your song. It's not my song. It's your song. You sing it out. Like if you want him to be a healer, just start singing the nature of God, who he is, that he's my healer. If you need provision, he's your Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides whatever your needs are. If you are full of fear and anxiety, that God, you're the lover of my soul. I can put my strength, my hope in you, and you're my strength and my refuge. So begin to sing your own song. I can't sing it for you. You have to sing it. So it's time for you to sing, and it's a joyful sound unto the ears of the Lord. He wants to hear you. It's not how beautiful you think you aren't or are. It's about releasing it. So right now, just for just a couple minutes, whatever, think of what it is that you need to sing to him, who he is. Who does he need to be for you today? And sing it out. Because you need to hear it yourself. It needs to come back to your ears. Come on, sing it out. Lord, you're my strength. You're my strength. You're my wisdom, Lord, where I wisdom, I need you. You're the God of all wisdom. I need you for your direction. Come on, just sing it out. Oh, I need you, Lord. You are my healer. You are my God, the one who loves me. No fear, no fear, Lord, because you are my security. Oh, da ya da 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 ba shanda. Oh, na na ya na yo shanda. Ya da da ba shanda. You're my protector. Oh, God, you're my joy. Oh, da ba shanda yo da da ba. He shanda da ba shanda yo da da ba shanda. Ya da da ba, yes, Lord. Every provision is made in you.
I lack nothing in you, Lord. Urabashana. I sing unto you, Lord. I sing unto you, Lord. You are my God. I shall not fear. Shandarabashanda. Yandarabashanda. Andarashiyanda. Yonanamashanda. Onanamashanda. You're always with me, Lord. I'm never alone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shandarava, Shandarava, Shanda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Nanama, Shanda. Oh, you're my help. You're my helper, my strength, my joy. Shandarava, Shandarava. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hanama, Shandarama, Shanda. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just feel I need to ask, is there anybody that just got some revelation as you were singing your song unto the Lord? If there's something that you care to share, you might not. That might be such a personal thing, and I understand, but if there's something you feel like you want to share, the Lord was speaking to you. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to close this and say, thank you, Jesus. You're everything that we ever will need. Show us your glory, Lord. And as we worship, as we praise you, God, that we have all of heaven with us. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you Zion people.